So we have a couple of more topics to talk about and a few more minutes in our program. If you want to give us a call, there's still time. The number is 412-268-9728. So yesterday there were a couple of interesting articles that appeared in the mainstream media. I can't believe we're talking about something that actually appeared in the mainstream news. There was an article actually appeared in the Post-Gazette, and it was a Knight Ridder article. The title of the article...
Who, it must be admitted, had been very good in reporting in the in the run-up to the war and the war news. Knight Ridder is the only mainstream news outlet that has been.
Right. And the article was called Military Solution Doubted in Iraq. And they interviewed a bunch of generals talking about what's going on in Iraq. And basically, they're coming to these conclusions that the insurgency is not going away, that what they're doing to try to stop the insurgency is not working. And there's a quote from one general, General Wellman, who said, we can't kill them all. When I kill one, I create three. And this is, you know, an obvious manifestation of the kind of the situation. These are not a few dead enders left over from Saddam Hussein. These are people who are trying to fight the U.S. occupation, and they're mad. And every time one of them dies, that person's family, friends, parents, children, everybody who knows him gets madder. It just creates, and this is what's happening over there. So they're never going to.
Well, according to Dick Cheney, we've broken the back of the insurgency, and we're on the way to our just victory.
Right.
Except that the generals themselves, saying, in particular, you mentioned, said that there can see that there is no possibility of a military solution.
You have to have a political solution.
Can we hear that? Well, there is no possibility of a military solution. This is the general. What is his name again?
Well, that's General Wellman. But actually, Wellman, the article, I don't have the article in front of me, but he interviewed. Mm-hmm. There's a half dozen different generals that are interviewed in the article.
Right.
It's not just one renegade guy. This is, you know,
so we
the
have
consensus
the same
position of these generals.
And for those of you who are old enough to remember, or those who aren't old enough to remember may have read, this is exactly the pattern that we had in Vietnam. We had the same story over and over and over again as things got worse and worse and worse. We just turned the corner. We've got
the light at the end of the tunnel.
Last week we had Operation Lightning, which was going to, now we're going to get serious and we're going to clean this up and that's it and we're going to take care of it and that'll be the end of it, and so on and so on and so on. And then people in Washington, like now it's Rumsfeld. Back then it was Robert McNamara telling us, you know, it was a bunch of dead enders and losers, you know, we're going to
stamping them out,
mopping up exercise here. Yeah. And I guess the situation gets worse and worse. And now we have a situation where it's a general who finally admits there can be no military solution. In other words, from a military point of view, we cannot win in Iraq. Now, those of us on the left, those of us who oppose the war, there are people who oppose the war because they oppose all war. They're pacifists. I have to admit I'm not a pacifist, but I oppose this war in particular. And I think anyone who's opposed the war, regardless of whether it was only this war or all wars, could see what was going to happen here. And the thing that's really shocking is if you look at the British, these British memoranda, one of the points that Jonathan Schwartz didn't get time to bring out, but one of the points that was brought up there, and you can have a look, is the British shock that there was absolutely no planning for what to do after the invasion. Jack Straw was commenting that there's been no cost-benefit analysis to figure out that, okay, he says openly, sure, Saddam is a bad guy. You can read all this for yourself. Just go to the links left out website, leftout.info. Sure, he's a bad guy. He's a terrible guy. There will be some benefit to getting rid of him. But what is the cost going to be for getting rid of him? What is it going to be the cost of the operation? But what is going to happen afterward? Mm-hmm. He asks the obvious question. Is there any reason to believe that the regime that replaces him will be any better than the one that we're deposing?
Right.
It is a question that was never considered. And they also expressed their absolute shock and dismay that the plan was to have the U.S. military remain in charge after the war rather than turning over to the State Department or to try to bring in, you know, have it be a United Nations operation and so on. It was completely shocked by the absence, the complete absence of planning. This was finally made the front page of the Washington Post. An article by Walter Pincus was describing this.
When was
the
that?
Shocking
yes,
incompetence
yesterday?
A few days ago. The shocking incompetence, I think it might have been Sunday, the shocking incompetence at executing the war, at carrying it out, even, as we've said many times, even if you are completely in favor of the operation, think that it's exactly the right thing to do, you must admit it is grotesquely incompetent. It was carried out in a grotesquely incompetent manner. And again, people who are opposed to the war.
What are some examples? Just one or two. Well, the lack of armor, for one thing.
Lack of
armor.
Some other things? They had no planning for the troops. They had inadequate supplies. They had no planning to deal with the insurgency. They had no planning to deal with, you remember, all the looting that went on after Iraq.
Right.
They fired all of the Iraqi military. They had no idea what they were doing. Right? No idea.
The ammunition dumps
they
were left open. All the stuff, the high explosives being stolen.
All these things were going on. There was no, like they should have brought in, you know, tens of thousands of MPs. They had no MPs. They had people who were doing MP work who had no police training. I mean, the thing is a complete and total farce. All we can see here is that they were hell-bent for leather to depose Saddam Hussein. That was a prime directive. Even before Bush was in office, immediately after he was in office, you'll recall from Paul O'Neill's book, made clear that that they were planning immediately in their first meeting after the inauguration to depose Saddam Hussein and to divide up the oil amongst the companies. Paul O'Neill, former Secretary of the Treasury, was present, member of the National Security Council, reported on this.
Mm-hmm.
It's a completely foreordained. It's a bogus operation, very poorly conducted. And now on Sunday, on the Sunday talk programs, Joe Biden was saying, it is clear that we're going to need a draft. So now
Biden is saying it wasn't Conyers who asked for a draft. Actually.
So there was going to be needing a draft. So now we'll see whether all of the, we'll watch what happens now. Of course, it's very predictable. All these pro-war, chest-beating Republicans, the 101st keep fighting keyboardists. Now we'll see whether they're going to have their sons and daughters going over there and being drafted and sent to Iraq, whether they're going to volunteer. This is a self-answering question. And then we'll see what happens with the next phase as we get mired deeper and deeper in this morass. Well, you've been listening to Left Out on WRCT at 88.3 FM. Today's program was produced by Quentin Steenhaus, who's done an admirable job for us. We will be back in 2 weeks' time, and thank you very much for listening.